Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Hi, everybody. My name is Daniel Indrajaya. I'm one of the staff here at The Rocks. It is such a pleasure to have all of you here this morning, especially if this is your first time coming to The Rocks. You pick a good Sunday to come because we're starting a brand new series. We do messages in series in this church that we're calling Comparison, the Comparison Trap. But before I start, I just want to welcome you. I don't want to take for granted that you choose to spend your Sunday morning here with us. And I want to let you know as well, our slogan around here is No Perfect People Allowed. We believe we gather here every Sunday, not because we're perfect, but we believe in a perfect God who loved us perfectly through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. So no matter who you are, where you are in your spiritual journey, you are welcome to join our church family. There won't be any judgment coming from us. I believe we all can grow together. I want to welcome also our YouTube viewers and podcast listeners. Thanks for joining in. And before we start this morning, I want to start with a word of prayer one more time. So can we just say a quick prayer and ask God to lead our time together? Father in heaven, thank you so much for being here. We can't see you, God, physically, but I know spiritually you are here because your word says when two or three are gathered in your name, you are here in the midst of us. So, Father, we are believing that you are here right now. You want to speak to us. So I pray that you speak through me clearly this morning. I pray that we will all open our hearts to hear what you want to say to us. We thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. If you agree with me, say amen. Amen. The great Mark Twain once said that comparison is the death of joy. If you want to find out a quick way to suck joy out of your life, if you want to be miserable, the quickest way to do it is to compare yourself with other people. This holiday season, you may have seen photos of your friends holidaying in Bali, snowboarding in Japan. And you look at yourself, suddenly your staycation at grandma's doesn't sound so hot anymore. And that's just what happened with me this past few weeks. You know, I was spending time with my wife's family, just spending quality time together until I saw this photo on Facebook, Sidara and Davinda, the last few weeks, spent time in Melbourne watching the grand finals of the Australian Open, my bucket list. And then suddenly my time with my wife's family were not as hot as I thought it was. So we all do that, don't we? Maybe some of you here, maybe you're a bit older and you're thinking, man, by this time I should know better. I should know not to do this, but you keep finding yourself doing the same thing over and over again. You keep looking to the left, you keep looking to the right, and nowadays you scroll up and down and you compare your life and you see how well you're doing based on how everybody else is doing. For some of you, maybe you don't have as much of a problem with this, you thought. Maybe you're saying, that's just your problem, Daniel, because I don't compare myself as much as you compare yourself. You know what you just did right there? You just compare yourself to me, and you feel better about yourself because you don't compare yourself with others as much as me. So we all have this struggle. We all have this tendency to compare ourselves, if not with everybody else, at the very least, we compare ourselves with our peers, don't we? Who do athletes compare themselves with? Other athletes? Who do businessmen compare themselves with? Other businessmen. Who do teenagers compare themselves with? Other teenagers. Wives compare themselves with other wives. Husbands compare themselves with other husbands. Girls compare themselves with other girls. And this is what we do. And guess what? Social media makes it a lot worse. Instagram, Facebook, just put kerosene on the fire because suddenly you are aware what everybody else is doing. Oh, he just bought a brand new car. Hashtag new car smell, you know. They were at that concert that I wanted to go to. Oh my goodness. You see what you're doing there? As you scroll up and down, what you're doing is you are benchmarking how you're doing in your life based on what everybody else is doing. And guess what? Every time you do it, I don't know if you notice, but every time you do it, you always come up short, don't you? Other people seem to have it better than you. Other people seem to be doing better than you. Look at those photos. Man, look at that abs. Is that even real abs? You know, I can live in the gym and not eat for a whole year and not have that abs. Oh, look at her photo with her. Oh, look at her selfie with her boyfriend again. Oh man, hashtag I want to puke. You know, so that's what you do, right? The social media just makes it worse. So what do you do? What do you do? Why do we keep doing this? Andy Stanley, who is a better pastor, preacher than me, he puts it in such a good term. He says, all of us live in this land called Ur. All of us live in the land of Ur. What does he mean by that? We all want to be smarter. We all want to be prettier, richer, cooler, skinnier, talented, if there's such a word, right? Why? Because when I have more than you, suddenly I feel better about myself. And that's just how we were wired, all of us. It's amazing. And then you start dating people. Suddenly you want your boyfriend and your girlfriend to have more. You want your girlfriend to be prettier and skinnier. You want your boyfriend to be richer and cooler and smarter. And then, you know, it's not really all about them at the end of the day, is it? It's all about you. And then you get married. Guess what happens? You know better this time. You don't say, I want you to be skinnier, because you know that doesn't work, right? What would your wife say? Oh, thanks for pointing that out. I'll try harder. Your wife will never say that. Hey, I think you should work harder, hubby. And I, well, thanks. You know, I didn't realize I was lazy. So thank you for pointing that out. No, you know, we're smarter than that. So we say to our spouse, oh, I just want them to reach their full potential. I want you to reach your full potential. I want you to be cleaner. I want you to work harder. I want you to, you know, be skinnier and all that, because I know you can reach your full potential. That's what we do in marriage. And guess what? It continues. You have children and you start comparing your children with somebody else's children, yeah. Right? Suddenly your children come up short. Suddenly you start, you know, wanting them to have more in their lives as well. You start telling them, hey, you should be smarter. You should be better. You should practice harder. You should this, you should that. You start shooting all over your children, and then they get frustrated with you because it's not really about them. It's really about you, because how well they do is a reflection on how good you are as a parent, right? And for some of us, we are on the other side of this. You know, we compare ourselves with other people and we come up better. So you look at your friends' children, they were a bit slower. You look at your friends, they're a bit heavier. And then suddenly you feel superior about yourself, don't you? Right? But for others of you, you are on the opposite end of this. You look at yourself in the mirror. You don't really even hate other people anymore. You know it's not their fault that they're pretty. You know it's not their fault that they're rich. You know it's not their fault they have more talent than you. You just look at yourself in the mirror and you start to hate you. You start to hate you because you know you can never measure up to them. You know that you say this, I will never be as rich as them. I will never be as pretty as them. I will never be as financially independent as them. Maybe you look at your marriage, you know, you have a broken first marriage. The reason why you don't want to go to family gatherings is because you see all these people, you know, they've been married 30, 40 years and they're still so deeply in love, cuddling each other. It makes you want to puke again, you know. Because you know you will never be as happily married as them, and so on and so forth. So here's the bottom line. The reason why we do this, and we don't even know why we do this. We don't even know why we keep taking photos of our food that we eat, you know? We don't even know what we do sometimes, right? So here's the bottom line. If you miss the bottom line of the whole series, it will be this, all right? If you find yourself wanting to compare yourself with other people, you just go to that place. Even though you don't want to, you just go to that place. I want you to remember this bottom line every single time you want to go there, all right? And the bottom line for the whole series is this, that comparison is a losing game every time. Yeah. It's a game that you will never win in, all right? It's a losing. In fact, I want us to say this together out loud, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. Comparison is a losing game every time, with the emphasis on every time. Everyone say every time. Every time. Comparison is a losing game. It's not a win-win game. It's a lose-lose game every single time. Because when you see yourself better than other people, it doesn't help you, does it? You feel better, you feel more superior than them. But if you're not measuring up to other people, that doesn't help you either, does it? See, it's a losing game. That's why it's a trap. You think you're winning, but you're not. It's a losing game every single time. And it gets worse. Because guess what? You started envying people. In fact, secretly, right? Secretly, I don't know if any of you want to admit this, but you love it, don't you, when you see your friends mess up. You love it when you see their children, you know, not doing well. You love it when they don't get that scholarship, you know. What is that? That is so evil, isn't it? It's so evil. If you don't believe that it's a sin, let me tell you, just catch yourself with this secret celebration every time someone close to you are not doing well. And then suddenly you said to yourself, you know, you're a Christian. You don't say it out loud. So you say on the phone, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. But inside you go, yeah. I love it that you fail. I love it that you don't do well. That is so embarrassing, isn't it? But that is the game that we're in. Comparison is a losing game every single time. In fact, some of you are in financial trouble because you play this game, this comparison game. The reason why you are having so much debt in your life right now is because you see other people drive the car and you want to drive that car. You see other people go someplace, you want to go to that place. You see other people live in that house, you want to live in the same house. That's why, part of the reason why you are struggling financially is because you are playing this game that you can never win. In fact, you are pushing your husband, your wife away, you are driving your children mad because this is what you do. You keep comparing them with other people. It's a never, never ending game. It gets worse. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 says this, a heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Did you catch that? Envy rots the bones. Sounds like a heavy metal song, you know, envy rots the bones. But it's true, isn't it? You know, you think it does. It doesn't do you any harm. It's just a fun game of comparison. But you're pushing everybody away. You're making yourself miserable. And worse than that, spiritually, it's eating you on the inside. That's why comparison is actually a sin. You are breaking fellowship, not just with God, but you're breaking fellowship with people around you, and you're breaking fellowship with yourself. That's why envy rots the bones. You know people who have everything. They seem to have it all together, and they're not happy, and they die young, and they're just miserable. You know, they're in and out of relationships and so on. You know why? Because this proverb is so true. A heart of peace gives life, gives meaning, gives happiness, joy to this world, but envy rots the bones. In fact, actually, this is not a new problem. This is not a series on social media attack or anything like that. But this is an old, old problem. This proverb was written 3,000 years ago. Do you know that? Talk about the Bible being irrelevant. 3,000 years ago, a guy by the name of Solomon wrote this. Solomon was the king of Israel. He was not just the king of Israel. He was the king of Ur. You know, talking about living in the land of Ur. He has all the Ur that you can imagine. This is his description in 1 Kings 4, 30-31. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else. If anything, he just have just all the Ur, he has all the est. He is the richest, the wisest, he has the most number of wives and concubines and everything. So he's accomplished a lot in his life, and he used his wisdom One of the ways he used his wisdom is to teach us, you and me, 3,000 years later, in a book that he wrote called Ecclesiastes. Maybe you never heard of that book. It's found in the Old Testament. You love that book. If you're not a Christian here this morning, let me tell you, if you don't like the Jesus thing, God thing, open yourself a book of Ecclesiastes, and you will be amazed at the wisdom you will find in the book of Ecclesiastes. You won't find Jesus there. You won't find any miracles. Maybe you don't like miracles and all that. But you will find yourself amazed at some of the amazing content in the book of Ecclesiastes because it was written by this wise guy named Solomon. And Solomon has to say to us about this game of comparison that we are in. So let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting from verse 4. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 4. And here's what Solomon says about this. I saw that all toil, how much toil? All toil and all achievement, how much achievement? All achievement spring from one person's envy of another. Solomon says, you see, I look at this world. I use my God-given wisdom and I pay attention to how people live. And I see themselves comparing themselves with other people all the time. They know how well they're doing. They know how well their wives are doing. They know how well their kids are doing by looking at how well everybody else is doing. And that's why they work hard, you know, to make sure they can have that more than the people around them. And Solomon says, I saw that all this toil, all the achievement is great. There's nothing wrong with achievement. But they all spring from the same place. And that is one person's envy of another. One person's envy of another. So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, look, this may sound good to you that you're achieving more and more. The achievement is not bad, as I said before, but the envy of one another, this is the problem. And this is how he summarizes the whole thing. This is fantastic. He says this, too is meaningless. A chasing after the wind. How do you do that? How do you chase after the wind? Exactly. You can't do that, can you? You know, because every single time you try to do it, you just can't. It will never stop. Am I right? There will never be enough dollar for you to be happy. There will never be enough likes on your Instagram. There will never be enough followers. There will never be enough well done. There will never be enough anything. It's like chasing after the wind. It's a never-ending game. It's a game that you cannot win. It's a losing game every single time. That's why it is meaningless to live this way. Solomon says, it's meaningless to live this way. So what are you saying, Solomon? Are you telling me that I don't need to work hard? Are you telling me to just fold my hands and do nothing? Solomon, because he's so wise, he knows what you're thinking. This is what he says next. Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves. The reason why you got in so much trouble is probably because you don't want to do anything with your life. Even though God has given you talents, we're going to talk about this in the third week, so I want you to come back, all right? Today is just an introduction. We're just surfacing the issue today. Next week, I want you to come back, bring your friends, because Siddhara is going to preach and bring it home next week. It's going to be so amazing. So today is just an introduction to introduce or surface the problem that we are facing, all of us, all right? So Solomon is not saying do nothing. He's not saying, you know, just fold your hands because, you know, you don't want to compare yourself with other people. Just be happy where you are and all that. No. Solomon says, no. Fools, only fools fold their hands and use this as an excuse to not do anything. And in the process, they ruin their lives, right? You've seen your friends' lives who are ruined because of laziness and all that. So this is not an excuse to be lazy. But here's what Solomon is saying, all right? Now, if you're new to scripture, memory, verses and all that, this is a good verse to memorize. Again, if you find yourself going there, even though you don't want to, you find yourself wanting to compare with other people, this is a powerful, powerful verse. I believe this verse that Solomon is going to say next is a game changer for many of us. For those of you who've been struggling for years with this, this is the beginning of your freedom, I believe. I believe you're here for a reason. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence that you're here. God wants you to hear this next verse that Solomon is about to say. Are you ready? This is so powerful. Solomon says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. The Hebrew imagery is so powerful here. This is written in Hebrews, in case you don't know. The imagery is this. Solomon is saying, it is better to live your life with one hand open, just receiving, believing in what God has trusted to you, not, you know, chasing after the wind, not like trying to get everything that you can get, comparing yourself with other people all the time. See, that's what it is. Two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. In fact, I want us to do that right now, to just feel what it's like, all right? The difference. I want you to open your hands. Can you open your hands like this? It's good, right? Now, what I want you to do is to clench, you know, your hand as hard as you can for 5 seconds until your arms are like, you know, shuddering, all right? Can we do that? Let's try on the count of three. For 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Just harder, harder. 3, 2, 1. And then slowly release. Ah, so much better, isn't it? That's the imagery that Solomon is trying to portray. It is so much better, he says. Better one handful, but with peace in your life, with tranquility in your heart, than two handfuls with toils and chasing after the wind. In fact, I want us to say this verse out loud together so that you will remember it, all right? On the count of three again. 1, 2, 3. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Because that's what it is, isn't it? It's chasing after the wind. One teenager, one young girl, learn what it means to live with one handful, but with tranquility, than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. She's from Australia. Her name is Asina O'Neill. I don't know if you heard about her. But 2 years ago, she became super famous worldwide. Why? Let me tell you why. From the time she was 12 years old, she started to be on Instagram. She was an Instagram superstar. She started to be on Instagram when she was 12, all the way until she was 19, all right? Taking selfie photos of herself because she's blonder, skinnier, and, you know, all that maybe compared to most of us. So after some time, she gained a lot of followers, more than 500,000 followers. And guess what? Companies starting to want her to promote their products. So, you know, at one point in her Instagram career, she took a selfie with a product, and companies would pay her as much as $2,000 for one selfie. $2,000. For one selfie. But then she said, I was miserable. I'm not happy. I want that 12-year-old girl me back. This past 7 years had been a living hell for me. And her story was reported by a major TV station in America, ABC Nightline. And I want you to hear her story.
We get a rare glimpse behind the scenes of a beautiful life. The social media darling coming clean about the painful toll it takes just to try to keep up appearances. What really goes into those envy-inducing photos? And why are some now questioning her motives?
I quit social media for my 12-year-old self.
Asina O'Neill's 19-year-old self seemed picture-perfect on Instagram. More than 500,000 followers, a glamorous, cool teenager, seemingly living the dream, making a career off social media. But 2 days ago, this shocking confession on YouTube.
I was miserable. I had it all, and I was miserable. Because when you let yourself be defined by numbers, you let yourself be defined by something that is not pure, that is not real, and that is not love.
She said it would be her last YouTube post and that she'd shut it all down.
Taking myself off social media is a wake-up call to anyone and everyone who follows me.
She deleted most of the thousands of photos on her wildly popular Instagram account. And the few she left up, she changed their captions to reveal what she says really was going on. Not real life. I didn't pay for the dress, took countless photos trying to look hot for Instagram. And she writes, not real life. Took over 100 in similar poses trying to make my stomach look good. And There is nothing Zen about trying to look Zen, taking a photo of you trying to be Zen and proving you're Zen on Instagram. Asena, pulling the curtain back on what she says is the painful cost of trying to look flawless online.
Everything I did was for views, for likes, for followers.
But her takedown off social media was catapulting her star even higher, an outpouring of support online from all over the world, including celebrities like actress Sophia Bush, who posted, "My girlfriends and I spent the better part of yesterday discussing Asena O'Neill's awesome serving of social truth. Check this out." The support prompting her to make one more video post.
I just feel so grateful that this is being spread, that this is actually getting out there.
Asena told us via Skype from her native Australia that she never intended to create a big fuss.
What I'm saying isn't revolutionary, but I just think it's a discussion worth having with how much value we put into just putting photos of ourselves online. And I think, you know, as I said, I spent 5 years wishing to be this perfect person online, and I spent 3 years every day working really hard at it. And I think if people understood just the amount of effort and time that goes into perfecting your life like that and being that consistent, then I think that wouldn't be so aspirational. I think the reality is quite sad.
Good on her for making a courageous decision to get off social media. And this happened 2 years ago, so I checked in preparation for this message if she is still off Instagram, and she still doesn't have an Instagram account anymore. She deleted everything now. And if you search for her name, all you have are just people, you know, using her name to promote whatever they want to promote. But she's totally off social media right now. I'm not saying for all of you to get off social media. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you gotta do an inner self-reflection and ask yourself, am I doing this? Is it hurting my life? And then if it does, maybe you should do something about this. And Asena O'Neill also wrote something about how so common this comparison trap that we're in, especially among teenagers, is so dangerous. This is what he wrote. I didn't do any research on this, so I just believe her for it. She said 42% of teenagers with tech access report being cyberbullied over the past year. More than almost half. 81% of teens say bullying online is easier to get away with. In fact, you read people actually kill themselves over this. 3 million kids per month are absent from school due to bullying. And 20% of kids who are cyberbullied think about suicide, and 1 in 10 actually attempt it. It is so dangerous. A study is done in England. Over 15,000 teenagers, young people from 14 to 24, and they found that Instagram is the worst social media app for young people's mental health. You know, you will have insecurity issue, you will have body image issue, you will have, you know, all kinds of issue if you are on social media too much, especially on Instagram. One of my favorite TED speakers, TED Talk, I don't know if you know anything about TED Talk, but it's a short professional talk on different issues. Simon Sinek, who was also a speaker at the Global Leadership Summit, he talked about this very issue, and he compares social media addiction with another addiction, and I never saw the comparison, but it is so eye-opening. I want you to hear it from him, from Simon Sinek himself. This is eye-opening for many of you, I think.
Generation growing up with lower self-esteem than previous generations, right? Through no fault of their own, right? They were dealt a bad hand, right? Now, let's add in technology. We know that engagement with social media and our cell phones releases a chemical called dopamine. That's why when you get a text, it feels good, right? So, you know, we've all had it where you're feeling a little bit down or feeling a bit lonely, and so you send out 10 texts to 10 friends, you know, hi, because it feels good when you get a response, right? It's why we count the likes. It's why we go back 10 times to see if my Instagram is growing slower. Did I do something wrong? Do they not like me anymore, right? The trauma for young kids to be unfriended, right? Because we know when you get it, you get a hit of dopamine, which feels good. It's why we like it. It's why we keep going back to it. Dopamine is the exact same chemical that makes us feel good when we smoke, when we drink, and when we gamble. In other words, it's highly, highly addictive. Right? We have age restrictions on smoking, gambling, and alcohol, and we have no age restrictions on social media and cell phones, which is the equivalent of opening up the liquor cabinet and saying to our teenagers, hey, by the way, this adolescence thing, if it gets you down. But that's basically what's happening. That's basically what's happening, right? That's basically what happened. You have an entire generation that has access to an addictive, numbing chemical called dopamine through social media and cell phones as they're going through the high stress of adolescence. Why is this important? Almost every alcoholic discovered alcohol when they were teenagers. When we're very, very young, the only approval we need is the approval of our parents. And as we go through adolescence, we make this transition where we now need the approval of our peers. Very frustrating for our parents, very important for us. That allows us to acculturate outside of our immediate families into the broader tribe, right? It's a highly, highly stressful and anxious period of our lives, and we're supposed to learn to rely on our friends. Some people, quite by accident, discover alcohol and numbing effects of dopamine to help them cope with the stresses and anxieties of adolescence. Unfortunately, that becomes hardwired in their brains, and for the rest of their lives, when they suffer significant stress, they will not turn to a person, they will turn to the bottle. Social stress, financial stress, career stress, that's pretty much the primary reasons why an alcoholic drinks, right? What's happening is, because we're allowing unfettered access to these dopamine-producing devices and media, basically it's becoming hardwired, and what we're seeing is, as they grow older, too many kids don't know how to form deep, meaningful relationships. Their words, not mine. They will admit that many of their friendships are superficial. They will admit that their friends, that they don't count on their friends, they don't rely on their friends, they have fun with their friends, but they also know that their friends will cancel on them if something better comes along. Deep, meaningful relationships are not there because they never practice the skill set, and worse, they don't have the coping mechanisms to deal with stress. So when significant stress starts to show up in their lives, they're not turning to a person, they're turning to a device, they're turning to social media, they're turning to these things which offer temporary relief. We know, the science is clear, we know that people who spend more time on Facebook suffer higher rates of depression than people who spend less time on Facebook.
Very revealing, isn't it? It's amazing how we don't even realize the comparison, the addictive effect of social media in our lives. And I believe this is a problem not just for teenagers, but even adults are struggling with this. Again, I'm not against social media. Our church is on social media. I'm on social media. It's how you use it that is the problem. It's how much you use it that is the problem. So before we go, I want to leave you with some questions to ponder. All right? As I said, this is just surfacing the issue. Come back next week and the following week as we talk more about this. Question for you. Number one, are you tired from trying to keep up with whoever? Maybe in your mind you wish you don't see their photos, you wish you don't know what's going on with their life so that you stop comparing. Maybe you're exhausted doing that. It's a good internal check for you. Number two, are you broke from trying to keep up with so-and-so, you know? Trying to drive what they drive, trying to live where they live, go where they go, and so on. And maybe it's not all of your financial problems, but part of your financial problem is because of this. You're broke trying to keep up with people. Number three, are you allowing what others have to keep you from enjoying what you have? You go visit your friend's house with high ceilings, and then you go home and you duck, you know, like, what's going on? Right? I remember one time I bought this used car, and I was so happy because it was so much better than my older used car, and I was so thrilled with it. I kid you not, this is a true story. So I pull up at this traffic light, right, admiring my new used car, so happy with it. Until, I kid you not, a red Ferrari pulled up next to me, and a 24, 25-year-old girl was driving it, and I thought to myself, my car sucks, big time, big time, all right? So I was happy 1 minute earlier. Can you imagine that? 1 minute earlier, I was happy, until that Ferrari pulled up next to me. So are you allowing what others have to keep you from enjoying what you have? And then number four, do you enjoy your spouse or your kids, or are you driving them crazy because of what everybody else is accomplishing? Again, you know, your excuse is, I just want them to be at their best, but it's actually all about you. And then finally, number five, who would you secretly enjoy seeing fail? All right? Again, it is so evil, it's so embarrassing, but that's a proof that we are in this game. If you're not careful, you know, we can get trapped in this game. It's a comparison trap. And when the truth is, actually, right, it is so much better, like Solomon says, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil chasing after the wind. You know, when you find yourself living this way, right, living this way, always wanting more, you know, you abandon your family because there's this other contract to bid in, there's this other project to complete. You find yourself comparing your little girl with somebody else's little girl and you want her to be better. When you find yourself giving advice to your boy, you know, because you want to teach him, but actually what you're doing is comparing him with other kids of his peers, you know, and you know, you just want to clench, you want to have more, you want to have more. Listen to what Solomon says. Better one handful, trusting God, believing that what you have is enough. What you have is enough. That God is enough for you. That Christ is enough for you. That His grace is enough for you. That what you have is exactly what God wants you to have right now. And what you don't have is exactly what God doesn't want you to have right now. That opportunity that you think you missed is what God doesn't want you to have right now for his own reason that you don't know and nothing about. You just have to trust God that what you have, where you are right now, is enough. Christ is enough for you. My grace is sufficient for you, Jesus says, because my power can be made perfect, not when you compare to others, but in your weakness, my power can be made perfect. You have a choice to make. How are you going to live your life? You live your life with an open hand saying, what I have is enough, Christ is enough, or you live your life like this, chasing the wind, a never-ending game, a losing game every single time. Why don't you stand up on your feet? There's this old song that I love so much. I want you to use this song as we sing along to reflect on what we just heard.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.